welcome. You are tuned into 2SER 107.3. My name is Andrew Popel, and the show is Final Draft, books, writing, and literary culture. As we get started, I want to acknowledge 2SER broadcast from the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. I am not recording in the 2SER studios, but from home, I am on the lands of the Darug and the Gundungurra people. I want to acknowledge the traditional owners. I want to acknowledge their ongoing connection to the land. And I also want to point out, it is unceded land. It is stolen land. Treaty was never reached. This is something that this country has to come to terms with. Now, today we are, as always, we're going to talk books, writing, and literary culture. I have a fantastic debut author, and isn't it just a great time for reading? Of course I would say that, but look, the weather is warming up. It's feeling a bit nicer. Maybe you're not wearing as many jumpers, but I don't know about you. How am I sounding? I was feeling a bit scratchy in my voice this week, but a bit sniffly. I thought maybe it's just hay fever, but I went and got a COVID test. I'm negative. That was an absolute relief, but as the weather warms up, we do still have to be safe. We have to be socially distanced. And go get yourself tested if you're not sure. Do it for yourself. Do it for everyone around you. Now, today on the show, as I said, I've got a fantastic debut novel. This is a very Sydney novel. It is The F Team from Rawa Aja. Rawa is a teacher, and she takes us into Punchbowl Boys High School, where the school is under threat of closure. Media representation has painted the students in a negative light, and a band of students must come together to save the school. I loved this book. It is just an absolutely fantastic look at our society, but also at masculinity in all of, I guess, its beauty and ugliness. I can't wait to share this. I have that conversation coming up with Rawa after this very short break.
Want access to free concert tickets, movies, music and more? Become a 2SER supporter. Head to 2SER.com/support and click the supporter button to sign up. Stories, ideas, music. 2SER 107.3.
You are tuned in to 2SER 107.3. This is Final Draft. It is books, writing and literary culture. My name is Andrew Popel and I am joined on the line by Rawa Aja. Rawa is a teacher and her debut novel is The F Team. Rawa, look, thank you so much for taking the time to join me.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. We were chatting off air before and I confessed how much I love this book and I want to give people a flavour of it. So Tariq, he's got his life together. He's got his boys. The girls all love him and school's a breeze, except for the bit where the media says they're all terrorists in training and the Department of Education is going to shut them down. But Tariq and his friends have a chance. They can play in a footy comp with some white boys from Cronulla and actually become a team. Now, if Tariq can pull all that off, his whole world might not implode. You have created an extraordinary ensemble piece here with the F Team, and Tariq is, I think hopefully his character will come out. He's someone that you vacillate between how much you love and how much you want to just sort of slap him upside the head. So Tariq and his friends attend Punchbowl Boys High, and the school you depict, it begins the story in disrepair with stressed and overworked but hopeful teachers. They're working with students who don't often see the point when the world insists on telling them that they are perhaps worse than nothing. You are a teacher. We mentioned that in the intro. I wondered how close do these depictions veer to the truth?
Pretty much identical, actually. Some of the things that Tariq goes through and says, I only had the privilege of experiencing that because I also mentor young boys from Punchbowl Boys as well. And so some of the things, and the principal Robert is so incredible and so supportive, opened his doors to the school and he said, you know, these are the boys, I want you to see them for what they really are rather than what the outside world sort of labels them. And I thought to myself, Why doesn't anybody know about this part of our community? And this is the real part of our community. And so Tariq really represents all those boys that I mentored, all those boys that I went and taught. And I wanted to give them something that they're proud of and that if they pick up this book that they feel safe. And I wanted to celebrate who they are.
So let's jump straight to that idea of media depiction and the media landscape. In the book, we see how media depictions can be particularly one-sided. And in fact, there is a moment in the book where the boys are challenged to take that on, to start to tell their own story. by, you know, people are leaking videos of the boys fighting. So they need to create their own, as it's explained to them by the principal, their own positive optics.
I never read as a kid, and I didn't like it. If somebody said I was going to be a writer, I think they were crazy. When I was 12 years old, September 11 happened. Being 12 or 13 is hard enough as it is because you're growing to the teenage years, let alone having the whole world now have you guilty by association. And so for a long time, I felt suffocated. And then Cronulla riots happened. And then it just felt like I couldn't speak. I couldn't really use my voice. I really wanted this book to be a book that celebrates diversity and a book that actually depicts what really is going on from our perspective. I don't feel like I owe anybody anything. I think it's rather just taking ownership now of my voice and just feeling proud to say, you know what, the media might say this, but hang on a sec, I'm actually going to challenge it because I'm the only one that can challenge it. The people of colour, minorities, are the only people that can challenge it. And I don't want to stay in the shadows anymore. I want to tell my story. I feel comfortable enough now to tell the story.
So the boys are faced with the closing down of their school. Their school is branded as almost irredeemable. And one of the lights at the end of their tunnel is a new principal, Mr. Archie, who gets them involved in a football comp. But the boys have to team up with another group of boys from a Cronulla high school. And there is so much that is amazing in these interactions, but I want to really sort of focus in on the relationship between Tarek and Aaron, who begins the story as a very much love to hate type of character. And there are several sort of very grass is greener type moments for Tarek and Aaron, where Tarek sees Aaron's house, Aaron sees Tarek's family life. I wondered, how did you negotiate and what did you want to explore as you looked at these different parts of Sydney for Tarek moving into Aaron's world and Aaron moving into Tarek's?
I sort of drew it on personal experience. I'm very fortunate. I have friends from all over the world. But sometimes and I say this in a really nice way, my white friends sort of don't understand that an Arab Muslim girl has to have plan A to Z if she goes to an outside area. So I'll give you an example. I went to a footy game and it was St. George, I think, or Cronulla versus the Bulldogs. And I went with my white friends. And we sat down in the audience, in the crowd, and there were these men behind me that were really tall, masculine, you know, beer drinking, tattoos. And I thought, I did the same thing that I didn't like people doing to me and my people. I stereotyped them and I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be traumatic. They're going to, you know, say something to me because I'm visibly Muslim. I have the veil on. And 5 minutes into the game, you know, the Bulldogs scored and they jumped up and I jumped up. And it turns out we went for the same team. And I thought to myself, isn't it amazing that when I sat down and I watched this game, that nobody asked me about my religion, nobody asked me about politics. I could actually just enjoy the game. And by the end of it, we actually became best friends. So, you know, a lot of beer was spilled on me. But the point, what I'm trying to make is, if you see people in their environment and go and actually put a face to a name, all of that tends to disappear if you want to learn and grow. So that's why I really wanted to explore the different world, because it hasn't been done before.
First of all, I wanted to say how much I love Tarek's father in the book. His patience and his resilience and just the way he deals with things. Your father must be a wonderful man. I wanted to take up what you were saying there about having ways to deal with things. And I was really interested in the idea of poetry as a communication style, but also in particular the Bankstown Poetry Slam that becomes a feature. It almost becomes a counterpoint to the footy comp in the narrative. And early in the journey, as the F team are coming together, they are, I guess, cautioned by Mr. Black that words can have a big impact. This is in relation to the way that they're interacting with each other. But I wondered then how important this message is for the lives of adolescents these days as they communicate.
Yeah, no, I think that's why I focused on it so much, because the idea of words, and then that's why I put the poetry slam, because it's the way you deliver that message. And you're right, I wanted to have that, you know, football scene, that masculinity there, but also counter that with poetry and break that stereotype. And that's how they learn to communicate. I grew up in a community, and it's not all of the boys, you know, but a lot of the boys sort of, they think it's a joke. So if they insult somebody and cross lines, they think, oh, but I didn't mean anything. And so you have to sort of re-educate and retrain these kids and say, but it's not about you and it's not about how you feel. Rather, let's look at, you know, the person that you spoke to in that manner. How do they feel? That's what is, it doesn't matter that you don't feel like you hurt someone, but the problem is you actually did. So it's not, you know, as teachers, you know, I used to have kids come up to me and say, oh, miss, I just said, you know, you're an idiot. And I say to them, okay, let's look at words. I want you to take out that word just and now repeat the sentence to me. And they say, okay, I called him an idiot. But they see the difference. It's you cannot live your life, you know, treading on other people's feelings, because once those words leave your mouth, you cannot get them back as hard as you try. And I always tell these boys that I mentor, even the young girls as well, that the effect you have on somebody when they're 15 and 16 or 17 can last, honestly, lifetimes. I know people that were bullied 15 or 16 in a jokey, so to speak, manner. And when they're 30, it's affected how in their relationships, it's affected how they get a job, it's affected their family, because they've just felt as though they're not good enough. And I always tell people, you don't want to live your life being that person that made somebody question themselves, made somebody question whether they want to come to school. Like, don't be that person. We have enough of those people. We're better than that. Let's move forward. So let's watch what we actually say.
And I guess the flip of that is also true. Powerful words can have a powerful impact. And in the F team, you have created thousands and thousands of words that have created, I guess, this idea of community that people can explore and access. But you've also created a very real community. This is so much grounded in the area that you write about. So much so, you have members of the actual community appearing as characters. Hazamel Masri, the great goal kicker for the Bulldogs, mentors the F team. Sarah Mansour encourages Tariq at Bankstown Poetry Slam. She's one of the founders of Bankstown Poetry Slam. I wondered, how did you go about including these, I'm going to call them real fictions? Were they involved in the project? Did you talk to them? Did you ask them?
I definitely asked them, but not, I pretty much did it. And then I was like, hey, because I know them personally. Mm. And like I said, I wanted a lot of these, everybody knows Hazamel Masri. But if you're not in the arts world, you won't know Sarah Mansour. But she's an extraordinary mentor and a great role model as well, who's a trailblazer. I respect her immensely. And so pretty much I had a list before I wrote this book, and I said, these are the people that I feel as though that these young kids should look up to. I don't want them to look up to Justin Bieber, no offense to his music or anything, but you can ask these kids about any rapper, they'll tell you. But those who, you know, are doing actually the groundwork in their own community, you know, behind the scenes, they're paving the way for these teenagers. I feel as though credit should go to these people, not that they ask me, not that they will ever want that sort of credit, but like I said, I want this book to be as real as possible, and these are the people that have made our community, you know, so much better. And there's so many more that I could have mentioned, you know, that I didn't. Hopefully there's a sequel to this book and I'll mention them there. But like, again, if these boys don't have these mentors or don't know about them, I want them to be accessible, because that was the issue I had as a teenager. I felt like I couldn't turn to anyone because nobody was accessible, right? Like, but social media has broken a lot of that, and I get so many messages from kids, you know, and I respond to them and they get so excited that I respond. So I wanted to create accessibility to people who are, you know, extraordinary, to say the least, in our community.
I think you've done that. I loved those touches. I want to assure you, I think this is on final draft, it is probably a safe space, though, to criticize Justin Bieber's music. we can definitely point people to some amazing Australian artists if they want to, you know, get along with things. That is, let's use that as a pretty good segue. I am speaking with Rawa Aja, and we are discussing her debut novel, The F Team. Rawa is going to stick around. We are going to have more of that conversation. But since we were talking music, I want to share a track from an Australian artist. This is from a band from West Arnhem Land in the Northern Territory, Black Rock Band, and this track is called If It Was Me.
Back on my homeland, a place of peace. When you feel the cool breeze blowing through one. Even spread out, it doesn't mean we are all divided. If it was me, I would stand up for my land. If it was me, I would stand up for my land. If it was me, I would stand next to that man. Would do the same thing. Bukan garini, bukan neman bot. Taparapol, piriwam, mai berjanggane. Connection to land is very important. The land is the law. And the law is the land. If it was me, I would stand up for my land. If it was me, I would stand up for my. I would stand up for my land and my culture and my plan. As an Aborigine man, I think you're mad and start to think it's fine to let the river die. Because your money and your power is more important than the people. Your greed is your church, your lies are your steeple. You wanna talk about life? Let's talk about the water, the Darling River, the connection to the culture. One human race, different clans, and you're caught in dance. Break the spirit of the land, and you're holding the one thing that the money shouldn't buy. Why the people suffer and the dreaming dies, yeah. If it was me, I would stand up for my land. If it was me, I would stand up for my land. If it was me, I would stand next to that man.
You are on 2SER 107.3. This is Final Draft, which is books, writing and literary culture. But just there we heard from Black Rock Band. They are from West Arnhem Land in the Northern Territory. The track was called If It Was Me. I kind of love that. If you want to check out more of Black Rock Band, you can check out their Bandcamp. Support them. Support Australian artists. So important right now. And just so rewarding. I have a great Australian artist with me as well, Rawa Arja. Her debut novel is The F Team. Rawa is a teacher, and if you caught the first part of our conversation, we were discussing The F Team, which is set in Punchbowl Boys High School. The school is beset by negative media depictions of the students, and a band of students have to band together to save the school playing in a footy competition. As the story evolves, as we see this very real crisis that the teams must go up against, we also have the characters. And I'm going to continue to pick on Tariq, but I think we can equally discuss this in terms of Huss and Aaron. They are all incredibly complex. They are all, at times, far from innocent. They do things. I mean, Tariq especially, the words that comes out of his mouth. I mean, I know he's a 16-year-old boy, but as we're dealing with these ways that the boys can be incredibly selfish, we also have to confront these are very real aspects of human behavior, and we want to pin our hopes on these guys. We want them to be our heroes. How important was for you then, and I'm thinking of the character of Hunter, for you to create an unambiguous villain for the story? How important was it to have someone that you could just sort of go, "Oh, that guy"?
Because I've dealt with hunters before in my life, and so I sort of don't want to give too much away, but the idea of Tariq, the way even he speaks to his sister, the way these boys deal with women is something that I really wanted to bring to surface, because, again, having these conversations with these boys, it's like, again, they feel it's okay to speak to women that way. And so I really wanted to shed light on the way to respect all people, but let alone women. Like, you're a 16-year-old boy, Tariq, who speaks to his sister who's twice his age, and feels as though he has that autonomy over her and that power of struggle and relationship. And he says some horrible things about her for her being older in age and not married. And he says some horrible things, and I've seen that. I've actually witnessed that. And so for me, it's always been like a silent writer when I watch these interactions. Not so much being a stalker, but like, if I can't help but being a teacher, it's in my blood I need people to get lessons out of this book. And Hunter was a very important character. And Hunter was actually someone that I actually struggled with to write, because, you know, I deal with hunters on isolated situations. I don't have them in my life. And I don't have to deal with them on a day-to-day basis. Yet these kids, because there's a lot of, you know, cross-communication with other schools, have to deal with hunters. And hunters in the Arab world too. It's not just an hunter in the Cronulla world. There's also hunters in the Arab world, which I feel like Huss and Hunter are pretty much, you know, at the beginning, are pretty much the villains of both communities. Mm. And so Hunter, for me, really represents... I sort of went through a few redrafts of this character, and I didn't want everything to be so stereotypical, but at the same time, these things actually happen. And what Hunter says and the words he uses and actions that have taken place, I've actually witnessed that. And so he was somebody that I wanted to put in. And you, I guess when people read the book, they go on a journey with him too. But his journey is sort of not finished at the end. And so that's what happens sometimes in life. Not everybody shakes hands at the end. That doesn't work that way. And so... yeah, I think a lot of, you know, people will learn from the character of Hunter as well.
It's interesting that you say there that you didn't want Hunter to in any way be stereotypical, but just to give a little bit more context around Hunter, he is someone who by virtue of his birth and where his family sort of sits in his community, has a lot of power. So he sits very comfortably with his power and tends to leverage it and tends to abuse it. And I think anyone who's met a Hunter type knows that there's nothing original about them. People that abuse power tend to do it in the same way. So as much as you would try to avoid stereotype, these people are stereotypes of themselves. I don't want to give more time to Hunter, though, because there is another character that I don't want to miss out on. And it strikes me that so much that we've discussed also hinges around ideas of male fragility. A lot of the ways the boys act and react comes from a sense of fragility that they're going to be called out, they're going to be shamed, their respect or face is going to be lost. And Jamila is just an incredible character in the way that she is able to stand on her own and call out Tariq. And there's a fantastic moment where she absolutely shuts him down and points out that his behavior is all around, not because of something she has done other than maintain her own self-respect.
Yep.
Please go for it. I want to hear more about Jamila.
Jamila was actually, she was so much, like, she was a ball to write. It was so much fun. Because, again, from real experiences, I see a lot of these young girls give in to those characters, to those boys like Tariq. And pretty much, you know, I wooed by anything he does. And I was just, and being, you know, older, and I watch these teenage girls, I'm like, oh my God, this is so cringy. Like, you can do so much better. I don't know why you accept that type of behavior. And she really is the first character to come along, or the first girl And she ends up being obviously a love interest, not to give too much away, but she's the first one that challenges him. And I really wanted to, I didn't want to make it her job to fix him because he needed to do that on his own. But I really wanted her to put some spanners in the work, you know, and make him really work for her respect first and foremost before anything could go forward. And she challenges him in ways that most of these boys won't know how to deal with. Like if a girl pretty much, you know, stands on her own two feet, doesn't need anything or anyone, is very strong and she's empowered. And I love the relationship that she has with another character called Marion. And she seems quite, not to give too much away, but she seems quite stereotypical with the hair and the makeup and, you know, the social media. But that they don't fight, that the women in this book particularly do not fight, because it's common in young adult literature to have, you know, there's always going to be two girls that fight over that boy. And I just, I hate that. So I was like, no, they're not going to fight over Tariq. Rather, Tariq has to fight to earn both their respect. And so I love the relationship that she has with the other girls in the book. And it's one of empowerment, one of, you know, even though you're different to me, I'm not going to put you down. And she's a character that I also wanted the girls, you know, if they read this book, to go, wow, I want to be like a Jamila. There should be more Jamilas in the world, you know. And I wanted the boys to understand that when they read this book, that they should watch what they say around women who know their worth, because they're not going to get away with things that they have in the past.
I absolutely love Jamila as a character too. And I'm so glad we got to talk about her. At the beginning, I described the F Team as a wonderful ensemble novel, and we have given a lot of time to Tariq, but I feel very confident in my assessment, because even just taking the example of Mariam there, you begin her, as you say, there is a temptation that we could see her as a stereotype of a particular type of person. And then she grows. And the only reason we saw her that way was because our point of view was Tariq's point of view. And as soon as we were allowed to see her as herself, we understood. And that's one of the incredible things that the F Team does. There are a good dozen, probably 20 characters that, I don't know how you do it, but somehow you have given them all arcs and growth. It's absolutely fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. Very, very hard. It took 4 years to do, but like I can't explain to people, and I don't know if I can say this without sounding a tad arrogant. I don't know, but I love my characters. Like when I was writing them, and you know, there was a few edits to go back and forth with this manuscript. Anytime I had to revisit those characters, like I was just like I was in awe. I loved them. I was like, because I really enjoyed the process. So sometimes I cried.
I'm telling you, I don't blame you. I cried a little bit too for our characters as they grew. And look, so Rawa, you actually appeared at an event last night that people can catch the second part of this evening. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so basically it's a Beirut fundraiser for the tragedy that happened, that occurred about a month ago. And it's pretty much a bunch of awesome Arab artists getting together to raise funds for those victims in Lebanon. And we'd be talking everything Lebanon and literature and our experiences and things like that. So if anyone wants to join in, you know, I appeared last night on Friday, but there's, you know, one happening tonight. And so if anyone wants to tune in, that would be awesome.
I think any fan of the show would want to check this out. You just look at the listing and people like Michael Muhammad Ahmed, who has appeared on this show so many times, Dr. Randa Abdel Fattah. I think Omar Saker's on there too. I don't see him on my list.
Yeah,
but
Omar Saker's on there, yep.
It's an incredible lineup, so people can check that out. I will put those links on our social media, on the website, but you can also check out Better Read events and support this incredible cause and some incredible writers. I'm speaking with Rawa Aja. Her debut novel is The F Team. It is a cliche of YA that we end up saying, this is a young adult novel that is for so much more than young adults, and I would encourage anyone to read it, but buy two copies, one for a young adult in your life. Rawa, thank you so much for taking time on Final Draft.
Oh, no, thank you so much. My pleasure.
That's it for Final Draft this week. Thank you again to Rawa Aja. You can catch that whole conversation on the Final Draft Great Conversations podcast. My name is Andrew Popel. I got to say farewell till next week. I wish you happy reading. Bye now.